It's time for JT the Brick.
The main reason why I have the back of the Raider Nation, the main reason why I do this for a living, because of the global disrespect this franchise gets from people who are wrong more than they're right on the radio. The lazy national narrative is the Raiders don't have a quarterback. I mean, really? Yeah, well, the Raiders are one of the worst teams in football. I said, worst teams? They won 8 games.
JT the Brick.
That's why I love you in the Raider Nation. You don't like anything. You're hardcore Raider Nation. You don't like anything until it's proven to you. There are Raider fans in Vegas. There are Raider fans globally. There are season ticket holders. Okay? There's a whole bunch of different Raider fans, but we're all one nation. One nation, the Raider Nation. And we're all on the same page. We want to win. That is another unbelievable article on anti-Raider propaganda. The roster's better than last year.
And now,
Big Boy Radio.
Here's JT the Brick.
All right, we're back. It's hour number two. We switched over to JT the Brick YT on my YouTube channel, thanks to the Raiders. We just finished Raiders Rundown, the first hour of the show, which was live on the Raiders YouTube channel, and all of it on Raider Nation Radio, thanks to Q Myers, our program director, and he comes on right after this show. He sat in. We had Lincoln Kennedy, which was fantastic, and the head coach, Antonio Pierce, who joined me. So that's a big hour. This hour, we have Vinny Bonsignore is going to join us here in a few moments. And former Raider Frosty Rucker is going to come on. Looking forward to talking to him. Here's what we've done today. By talking to the head coach already, it was a little different today. All good. When he left, I said, that's exactly what we needed. He's not in a good mood, which is great. He doesn't need to be in a good mood. He came in here focused. Everything I threw at him, he took it. I opened up the interview by saying you made some strong comments. How did the players react? He talked about scrubbing, watching that film, cleaning it up, and doing it all. So we are on to Cleveland, as Belichick would say. We are now moving on to Cleveland after one of the worst losses that I think we've ever sustained in Vegas. The history of the Raiders goes from Oakland to L.A. to Oakland to Vegas. There's been more legendary wins, iconic wins, than iconic losses. There have been. Look, the losses, if you go back to the Immaculate Reception, the Immaculate Deception, if you go back to the Rob Lytle fumble, if you go back to losing big games, right, we've seen the Raiders lose big games, the Baltimore Ravens in the AFC Championship game. There's been great wins. I don't look at week one or week three normally as an important win or loss in the regular season. But I will say this last loss, I look at it historically. It was a home opener against a team where the Raiders should have had a layup. They should have had a layup and won that game easily, and they did not. And that's concerning to me because something went really, really wrong. Antonio Pierce made the comments about some made a business decision. Now that's behind the Raiders. Now, for those who are saying, what did he mean by that? What did he mean by that? And he said they're going to make business decisions. Well, we can find out a couple of ways. By the roster. Who's going to play or not? Is he going to bench someone? We'll find out. Remember, this is a coach when they benched Marcus Peters, who was cornerback number one at the time. They didn't have a lot of depth. Marcus Peters was shown the door because he played in a couple of games where he didn't want to tackle. He didn't want to put his helmet in the pile. Is that what happened here? I don't know. He's not going to tell us. The speculation is real. Who are the players that look like they didn't give 100%? It shows up on film. They had a meeting, the coaches and the players, and they figured it out and they addressed it. Now we're at a point where whoever didn't play well, whoever didn't go balls out, whoever didn't have an unbelievable game better show up and have a big game. I don't know this to be true because I don't know Tom Telesco well, but I respect the hell out of him and like him a lot and respect him. I think that there's probably, I don't know how many, so I don't want to be quoted on this, but I would assume that there's some jobs on the line Sunday. I would assume that if the Raiders don't win to get to 2-2, and if the Raiders don't play better and they don't win that game, that they're going to look around personnel, the personnel department, and make some changes. Now, the problem for the Raiders is that the Raiders are at a spot where they're injured. But Cleveland's injured more. Cleveland's got real injuries. Okay, they lost three of their offensive linemen in that game. One went on IR. So they are very banged up in this game, and so are the Raiders. So when I look at this, excuses die, the record stands. I swam in high school as a swimmer, and my coach had a shirt and said that, because no one wanted to swim in the wintertime, 7,000 yards when it was 28 degrees outside, even though we're indoors, and no one wanted to work. And he'd say, excuse, I don't want to hear your excuse. You got a runny nose, get in the water. You're not feeling good, your homework got eaten by the dog, get in the water, and we're about to go hard. And excuses die, the record stands, is something that stayed with me my whole life. All the excuses, there weren't many for losing to Carolina. You don't hear excuses. They didn't play well. They got boat raced. They got beat up badly. No excuse, they didn't have anything. They're owning it. They've owned it. Now they got to move on, and they got to build the new record. And how they're going to be able to do that, we asked Vinny Bonsignor, who joins us, our insider, part of the morning tailgate. And Vinny, you've been there for every single press conference from the head coach since you took over here, and you ask usually the first question. What was his demeanor like? What was your takeaway of the press conference earlier?
Yeah, I think from Antonio Pierce's perspective, it's move on. It's time to move on. And, you know, to his point, it's three games into the season. So Sunday was ugly. There's no getting around that. And they have to bounce back. That's going to require leadership in the building. And I'm talking about from the players. You know, the coaches can say all that they want, but this is going to come, you know, from the players to decide how they want to respond to what happened on Sunday. But overlying point, it's still early in the season. There's no reason to panic. There's no reason to pull any plugs or overreact. It's a loss that doesn't sit well with anybody at the building here in Henderson, and it stung, and it was embarrassing, and it was all of those things. But you've got another game coming up against the Cleveland Browns, and you can't turn one bad game into two bad games. You can completely change the narrative and move on entirely from that loss to the Panthers by winning the game on Sunday, getting to 2-2, which I think anyone that looked at the schedule to start, you know, the season would have said, okay, 2-2 after four games, that's reasonable. That's okay. That's acceptable. You know, whereas 1-3 obviously looks a whole lot different. But there is no, it's not time to panic or anything like that. However, I do think that there's, you know, this is a big pivotal moment, I would say, for the Raiders in terms of how they actually do respond to what happened on Sunday and how they're going to play against the Cleveland Browns. And if they can get back on the right track, then all is good for now. If they don't, now you're starting to say, okay, what does that mean? And what does that foretell for the rest of the season? So it's a big moment for them to get back on the right track. And if they do, great. If not, then there might be a little bit of a problem going on.
Vinny Bonsignor is our guest, so I have to ask this question as you're a journalist and a talk show host. Was there speculation about a certain player or a couple of players that didn't put their hat into the pile or didn't hold the block? Or was he just frustrated? It was a generalization that the team didn't play well.
Yeah, you know, he's Antonio Pierce hasn't, you know, identified anybody in particular. And I think that they're you know, and you know, to give him a little bit of grace here, there is a learning curve to all of this, to being the head coach and to being the spokesman for the team and to being the guy that gets asked every question first and foremost after a game and, you know, putting your raw emotions out there after minutes after a game, basically. You know, you got to get out there and stand in front of people like ourselves and answer questions. And I think there was a little bit of maybe a learning experience there for Antonio. It's not always the best policy to say exactly what's on your head at that particular moment. Sometimes, you know, it'll stay in-house is sometimes a coach's best friend. Now, it's great for people like myself who cover the team. You want brutal honesty and all that, and I get that. But from a team's perspective, sometimes it's okay to say, you know what, that's going to stay between me and my players. And give it a day or two before you come out and say something. Because here's the – say something along those lines. Because here's where I'll go with that. You know, almost every time we ask a coach immediately after a game about something in particular, what do they always say? I really look at the film. And that might seem like a cliche, but the film is what really tells you what's going on. It's one thing to stand there on the sidelines, and yes, you have your assumptions or perceptions or whatever, but plenty of coaches have told me that, look, after I looked at it on the film, I have an entirely different point of view than I did standing over there on the sideline. So I think every coach that gives themselves a little bit of room to really go look at the film before speaking out of emotion does themselves a little bit of a service. And when Antonio said what he said about you know, business decisions. I felt like for us, it's great. Obviously, that's talking points and articles and shows and all that kind of stuff. But I'm wondering if maybe there was a little bit of a mistake that was made, because what happened immediately after? Every Tom, Dick, and Harry that has, you know, NFL Plus that can go out there and look at the film or tape the game or whatever is going to analyze the game tape and then start pointing their own fingers and making their own assumptions on who exactly was he talking about, which I don't think does your team a whole lot of service. And you know, Jack Jones was somebody that was implicated in all this. You know, there were some other players maybe that people pointed a finger at. And I think Antonio kind of opened up that whole Pandora's box and then created a story where maybe a story didn't need to be created from the team's perspective. So, and today, what did he say? That's going to stay between the team and me.
Good.
When he was asked about those business decisions, I think that in retrospect, maybe that's what he should have said after the game. But again, it is a learning curve for Antonio Pierce. This is the first time that he's been doing this ever, you know, as a head coach. And so you're going to expect, if there is a learning curve, you're going to have to expect that there's some lessons that might get learned along the way.
Vinny Bonsignore is our guest. Always great to have him on the show as we take a deep dive into the Raiders. And Vinny can look around the league. And for your years covering the Rams also, they beat the Niners. Really an unbelievable comeback considering how far they were down in their injury list. And I want to tie this up because you've been doing this a long time. There's always injuries. It's in the NBA, Major League Baseball. Every team's banged up, but not like this year. The injuries are significant when you look at Myles Garrett, Max Crosby banged up, maybe playing through it, Christian McCaffrey injured, guys on IR gone for the year. Wow, Vinny, I think it's going to be survival of the fittest. That's why this 2-2, whoever's going to be 2-2, Cleveland or the Raiders are going to come out of this saying, wow, we're injured, we're banged up, we just won a game, and we're at 500 going into the second quarter of the season.
Right. I mean, look at the Cincinnati Bengals. The best they can be is 1-3 after this week. The best that the Baltimore Ravens is 2-2 after this week. I could go right on down the list on all that. And so basically what you're saying is if you're 2-2, you're right there. You're right there. You're better than a lot of teams, actually. Not so good against a few teams, but you're right in the thick of things at 2-2. And yes, it is the survival of the fittest. There is a you know, battle of attrition that exists in the NFL. It exists in all sports, but in particular the NFL, because of how physical and violent that sport is, which is why whenever I hear fans talk about guys need to play in the preseason, play them in the preseason, I'm like, yeah, you know, you want to lose a guy in the preseason, you want to, you know, or wait until it actually counts before you start exposing players to that kind of physicality. I don't know if there is a right answer, but if I'm a coach, I'm not maybe a little bit in the preseason, because I know what it is in the regular season. We already see that with the Raiders, down two starters on defense, three if you put Max Crosby in there. He wasn't out there to start practice today. We'll find out what the injury report says. We know that he's dealing with an ankle, but it doesn't look like he was going to practice today. What does that mean for Sunday? I don't know. Obviously, he's a warrior, and you tip your cap to the ultimate warrior that Max Crosby is, but you know, maybe there's I don't know what his status is going to be on Sunday. So there's another potential defensive starter down there. Bunford's not practicing today. There's your right tackle that might not be able to play on Sunday. Devon Diablo isn't practicing today, and it probably doesn't look like he's going to play on Sunday, you know, if I had to guess right now. So now you're talking about four starters are down. So, yes, every team has to deal with injuries. The Raiders are going through it just like everybody else, and that's why depth is so important. That's why managing the salary cap, you know, when you start thinking about some decisions that made, oh, bring back Josh Jacobs, okay. At that number, do you really want to pay a running back that much money when you also have to fill a defensive line? Do you not want Christian Wilkins? What are you doing about the backup for him? So all these 53 pieces of this puzzle, 70 when you put in the practice squad, that needs to fit together under the salary cap, knowing how physical this sport is, and you need something in reserve. It's easy to say, pay this guy, pay that guy, make sure that guy gets paid. It's harder to do.
Vinny Bonsignore. So, Vinny, last one. I just don't know this team enough, how they're going to bounce back. I don't, because historically, any team, including the Raiders, if you have an awful game, I mean a terrible game, and that falls into this category, I'm confident you're going to play 10 times better. I just know you are, because it's just the way the league is. You have a bad game, you get called out by your coach, you got better practices, more focus, and then on top of the fact that you're at a point in time in the season when you have to win, I'm expecting much better play, but I can't guarantee it. I don't know, because they can't run the ball as of now, and I think they're going to want to run the ball, and that concerns me, because if they're stubborn enough to want to run, and it doesn't work again, and they become pass predictable, they can be in a tight game, a game that they could possibly lose late.
Yeah, well, and there's no track record, at least this year, of this team being able to do what you just described, or bounce back from what you just described. Now, look, if we're talking about the NBA, a few years ago when the Warriors were flying high, a few years before that when the Lakers were flying high, you can set your watch to both of those teams making somebody pay dearly for whatever mistake they made in letting the game get away, or not, you know, not putting out their best effort on a Tuesday night, you know, in Minneapolis, and then you know, that looks ugly. But then whoever they're playing next, you can pretty much set your watch to the fact that the Lakers or the Warriors were going to make that team pay. And you knew that. If I was a betting guy, those are games that I would always bet. We don't know that about this Raiders team. And that's why on the morning show we were throwing out, all right, well, what do you expect on Sunday? I don't know. And anybody that says they do know is not, I wouldn't say lying, you know, but they're just, how can you know? We don't know. And it's on the Raiders to start building up a resume for themselves in these types of moments by responding, stringing together wins so that they do create that consistency, and that does create confidence within their fan base and themselves that they're going to be able to do certain things on a game-to-game basis. They have not done that, whether you're talking about running the ball, whether you're talking about stopping the run consistently, the two foundational pieces that Antonio Pierce wanted this team to be about. Neither has come to fruition, and when you can't control the line of scrimmage in terms of the run on offense or defense, you're going to be susceptible. So it's on the Raiders to get it fixed on both sides, because you look at that defense, and I know there's injuries, and I know there were some extenuating circumstances, especially game one against the Chargers when they kind of wilted after the offense just didn't really do their part. But you look at points given up, and the Raiders have given up, the 20, they ranked 27th in terms of points allowed this year. Nobody thought that was going to be the case. This was a defense that everyone was assuming would be a top 10 defense in that regard. They're far from that right now. So you can't put it on just the offense. You can't put it on just the defense. And when you talk about expectations for Sunday, I know the Raiders want it to be a certain way, but how anybody can expect it to be that way right now, I don't know how you can.
Vinny, let's thank your proud partners and thank you for coming on.
Yep, absolutely. Dos Catas Tequila. By the way, if you're in town on Saturday, we'll be at the Crust and Rue over at Town Square. We had a blast there last Saturday. So starting at 5 o'clock, we'll be at Crust and Rue again, a proud partner of Dos Catas Tequila. And, of course, LendingStore.com. If you need $500 or $5,000 as early as tomorrow, go to LendingStore.com for all the details. Have their experts help you find a lender that can get you the money that you need in your bank account by tomorrow.
Thank you, Vinny. Have a great week.
You too. Thank you.
All right, that's Vinny Bonsignore. Thrilled to have him here as we open up this second hour of the show live from Raiders headquarters, and we greatly appreciate that. So thanks for jumping in, man. We got a big weekend coming up here. We got a huge weekend in Vegas as the Browns are in town, and we want everybody to have a good time. Everybody come out. There's so many opportunities to have fun. I want everybody to go to Virgin Hotels. I spoke to Cliff Atkinson, the president of Virgin Hotels. They got events at 24 Oxford coming up here. Busy Bone coming into town. All the concerts they have. Wu-Tang Clan. And then you go to Casa Calavera. You go to One Steakhouse with the great J.O.D. You go to the pool. Great place to stay. Unbelievable room rates. The Shag Room, they're putting the center bar back in. Where I met my wife, at the center bar, they're putting that back in. Go head to Virgin Hotels Las Vegas this weekend and get it going. And I tell you, this is always an exciting day for me, because Sunday and Monday I'm a zombie. No sleep. I come out of it. Tuesday I come up for air. My wife gives me a bowl of soup to try to get me back and wake me up again, get my life going. Then Wednesday I come here, interview the coach. We do Raiders Rundown, and we take this radio broadcast and we cut it up to a TV show that airs on Saturday night on ABC. Got friends saying, hey, man, I'm watching the show. Saturday night, I had a buddy of mine. He was at a club showing people dancing, and then up on the corner on the TV was this show. So we appreciate the Raiders who are giving us this great opportunity. There's a lot of Cleveland fans coming to town. So Friday night, we have the Biletnikoff Crab Feed. And let me remind everybody what that is. The Biletnikoffs throw this big gala every year. Every year it's called the Crab Feed, and it's great. They fly in real crab. So you're cracking the crabs, you got the bib, you're eating, you're drinking, there's entertainment. Michael Shapiro, what a great performer, one of the best performers in town, Reckless in Vegas. They're going to be there. It's auction items, players, coaches. I don't know how many coaches are going to come, considering what this game looks like on Sunday. But normally there are alumni, the Plunkets, the Biletnikoffs over the years, everybody. So that's going to be our Friday night, and I'm excited about that. But it's back to business, man. This is a big win. A great opportunity for the Raiders to get to 2-2. I know a lot of fans are triggered. Okay, that's my job. You know, blame it on me. Can someone print me up a T-shirt? When the Raiders lose, the T-shirt should say, blame it on JT. No, seriously, because today I woke up, and let me read you the tweet. Okay, let me read you the tweet that I put out. And everybody thinks everything I tweet is Raiders, and it's not Raiders. I'm a Yankee fan. I grew up, I'm a Knicks fan, but everybody, when they read something from me, they think it's Raiders, which is not the case. So here's the tweet. You ready for this one? Okay. Nothing worse in sports than fans who quit on their team. Not the fans who are very upset in one event. Not the fans who pay big money and are disappointed and want better results. Not the fans who show up early and put everything into the game as the team struggles. I'm talking about the toxic idiots who just quit, but still tell everyone that they're a diehard fan. Fortunately, those quitters are in the minority of great fan bases. So that's the tweet. Did I mention the Raiders at all in that tweet? Did I mention Raider fans in the tweet? No. And man, they are coming after me like dragons in Game of Thrones. JT more comfortable with calling out fans than the owner. Shocking. JT this, JT that. How dare you tell me, JT, how to be a fan? I'll tell anybody whatever I want. I do it to people's faces. I'm live. I'm in public. I'm a personality who's in public and back up everything I say. So this wasn't directed at Raider fans at all. But man, Raider fans are on edge today. Blame it on JT. Wasn't that Milli Vanilli song, Blame It on the Rain? Blame it on JT the Brick. You blame me when the team loses. Not all he is. It's just the social media people. The regular fans get back on the plane. They come back. They come back. They come back. They tailgate. They go to Eye Candy with the Black Hole. They go to a great dinner. They tailgate. They have a great time. I am in the misery business. That's the business I chose. Most sports, unless you're a Swiftie, is miserable. Because you're always losing or trying to figure out how to win. All the Raiders have to do is win this game to get to 2-2. Will 2-2 be great? No. I talked to a great fan today, my great friend, Thomas Littlejohn, and he said he'd be more frustrated with 2-2 because it's supposed to be 3-1. I said, man, you're right. If we win this game, we, the season ticket holders, if we win this game, we're 2-2. Shouldn't that be happiness? No, some Raider fans are going to say we should be 3-1. But if you lose this game, it's hard to come back. It is. I'll be back. I'll talk to Rich Gannon Mondays, Lincoln Kennedy Wednesdays. We'll do everything we do. We'll give you the best that we have. We give you everything we have. But some fans at this point in time, some fans from right now are just out of their minds. Out of their minds. And I understand why. Because I'm a season ticket holder, and I get it. And I understand your pain. And I understand how you want to take it out on Luke Getsy. I understand how you want to take it out on Zamir White. I understand how you want to take it out on JT the Brick, third person. Do whatever you need to do. We're going to be here for you. And I don't want to be Raider therapist at 1-3. I won 2-2, and I want to get ready for my trip to Miami. I'm going to Miami to see the Raiders. Miami looks dead on arrival. You know who we play on the schedule this year? Let me give you four teams that we play that you didn't think we had a shot. We're at Miami. We're at Cincinnati. Jacksonville's coming to town. They might be the worst team in football. Jacksonville's coming to town. And Atlanta is 1-2. Those are four games. If you can get us to 2-2, and I can find another four off the top of my head, I didn't even mention Denver and splitting with the Chargers. All of a sudden, I can find seven or eight wins for everybody. I can find it for everybody. But I can't do that if we can't get by the Browns. I can't go surfing for wins and say, oh, we're going to beat the Broncos twice. We're going to beat the Chargers the second game. No, no, no. You got to beat the Browns. You got to punch the Browns in the face. Someone described it like the Raiders were the bullies last game and Carolina punched them and the bully didn't react. Well, the Raiders have to come out and throw the first punch. At Allegiant Stadium, the fans are not going to be, let's take selfies at Too Short. The fans are going to be like, I want to win this game. And you got to go win this game. And show up and do what coach asked you to do. Show up and be ready to go. Hey, man, head on out to Resorts World. Are they doing a great job? That's our home for Monday Night Football. And tonight, Thursday Night Football, the Big Blue Wrecking Crew. They just beat Cleveland and had eight sacks. Cowboys are coming. Look at this. Thursday night and Monday night football. Doghouse Saloon inside Resorts World.
You want more of that, right? You want more guys speaking like that. We always talk about mental toughness. You always hear coaches talking about adversity and opportunity and character and all those key words. That's me talking. It's different when it comes from a player. When it resonates in the locker room, when it resonates in the meeting room, when it resonates in the practice. So, you know, obviously for him to step up, that's huge. And it's not even about being a newcomer. He's a pro. He's a pro's pro. And the more of those guys you can have that can handle grown man decisions and grown man ass whoopings, the better you'll be as a team.
It's Antonio Pierce. He sat down with me a little while ago, met with the media, and we are back. We're brought to you by M Resort Spa and Casino. It's time for Once a Raider, Always a Raider. A legend out of USC, played for the Raiders on the defensive line in 2018, played for the Bengals, Browns, and Cardinals. Pleasure to welcome back Frosty Rucker to the show. Frosty, we could have used you at the home opener. The Raiders took a bad loss at home. What happened? How'd you see the game? What happened to the Raiders?
Hey, JT, thanks for having me back. What's up, Raider Nation? Wow, you want to dive right into it, right?
I want to dive into it because we need a tough guy like you to get us out of this. We need a guy like you on the defensive line to say, that's not happening again. We got to beat the Browns.
Yeah, big game. To talk about the last game and my availability, there is none. If there is anything, it would be a goal line, probably like one series. So I'll leave it at that. Big week of a rebound week. I think they have enough leaders in that locker room that, you know, despite what, you know, we hear from coach about, you know, people taking plays off or making business decisions, you know, that was the roster that he rocked with, you know. And we got enough leaders in there, especially on the defensive side of the ball and on the line to, you know, to make sudden changes and, you know, fare a better game.
Yeah, you know what got me with that game, Frosty, was the fact that they had everything on the line. It was a home opener, and you played in home openers, and you played in road teams. When you're on the road, and it's their home opener. It's just a different energy. Max wasn't at 100%, and I know how much respect you have for Max Crosby. We got a pretty good players on that defensive line overall, but the point of attack, I got to give Carolina credit. I mean, they came to win the game. They were much more physical than the Silver and Black.
Yeah, and if Max wasn't 100%, you know, it sucks that he has to be 110% for, you know, us to prevail and not let the other team score. You know, Carolina came in, Andy Dalton was fired up, and that's what you got out of it. That team has been getting the shit kicked out of them on the radio. Sorry if I can't say
Yeah,
that.
You can't use that, and but we'll drop that. You know, okay.
They came in fired up. You know, just because it was the home opener, it wasn't the first game, you know. So everyone is fighting for their lives in the league, and the Raiders do have to do a better job. I think in a wholehearted effort, you know, we we have our moments, but it's the same old, same old. And some of those guys got to finish the plays. We got to the ball has to roll our way sometimes.
Absolutely. Frosty Rucker's kind enough to join us. Former Raider, once a Raider, always a Raider. Let me ask you about practice coming off a bad loss, because it's their day back today on Wednesday. They're off on Tuesday, and they got a lot of guys banged up. So give me your experience in your career, what it was like when the coaches got you back in the building, and you knew they were going to light you up in the team meeting and put the film on if you didn't have a good game. That would be your team, not you individually. And then you were going to strap it up and go out on the field, and you knew a hard practice was coming because, Frosty, you played in a different era, and it wasn't that long ago, but they don't have padded practices anymore. It's mostly walkthroughs. How do you clean it up and get better?
Well, you know, that's funny to say. They figure it out in the spring, how to move fast, and everyone's always chirping about how good they feel leaving spring ball and OTAs. So, you know, that's just what the times are now. Mm-hmm. It used to be, you know, a hard padded Wednesday practice. They probably do pads Wednesday and Thursday. But, you know, player safety is such a hyper-focused area that, you know, when they create these CBAs, you know, it has to be at the top, because in the past, coaches would get away with doing the pads the whole season knowing their players are wearing down. So it's a tough thing. I wish the players could overrule it and say, you know, we need to go pad on pad, get some 9-on-7, and set the pads, especially if you're giving up the run.
So just in big picture stuff, when you look around the league here and you see that a lot of teams are struggling, I mean, it's catastrophic. I mean, the survivor pools, you know, Cincinnati loses week one, Baltimore to the Raiders week two, and then you see all these losses out there. Do you think there's some sloppy play, Frosty, because it's just not a lot of players are playing in the preseason, or do you just think it's football, that at the first quarter of the season – you're going to have some injuries. Guys are going to be working through it, getting back in shape. How do you see some of the poor play that we're seeing around the league?
Well, to be completely honest, this has been a deal, like we talked about, with player safety. I was a younger guy in the league with the four preseason games, and that was brutal. If you're taking the majority of the reps and the, you know, the ones are, you know, getting the first quarter, then they're out all the way to the third game, and then they don't play. And when you're a young guy, you got to stay in there. Mm-hmm. So eliminating the game and add one to the end, it would be a test for me. Mm-hmm. I would think at some point more teams, more old-fashioned type of coaching would have to step up at the competition committee meetings and say, you know, we need the four games. We have to evaluate harder. You know, it's just a fair balance of how you accomplish what you want without the injuries.
Tell us what you're doing in your personal life now. I love when you come back. The alumni department loves you for everything you mean to the organization. What's going on with you and your family in the business world?
Yeah, you know, that 1 year of me playing in Raiders has opened up so many doors, and I'm so thankful to always be considered a Raider for my 1 year contribution. And I love coming around. I love seeing the fans. I love getting personal with them, doing the autograph sessions and talking to people and, you know, just really knowing the history of the Raiders from the fans' view and their favorite players throughout all the years. And it's exciting. So very thankful to come back. Personally, I'm in venture capital, investing in companies with hopes to take them public. Sit on the board of a space company. I'm going to give a shout-out to Starfighter Space. We're down at Cape Canaveral in Florida. And the Kennedy Space Center, and it's a neat project that we have a fleet of F-104 fighter jets that hopefully sometime soon we'll be shooting payloads of satellites up into outer orbit.
Wow, that's pretty aggressive. That's really amazing.
Yeah. So I wanted to give you guys a good scope on that, right?
Right. Wow. Well, good talking to you. I hope you got a game coming up. You're coming out for a game later in the year?
Yeah, I'm thinking I might come right after that Christmas. So, you know, it's the holiday season. Frosty's fitting for that. So that's what I'm looking at.
Thanks for joining us. Appreciate you. Great catching up with you.
Always. Take care and have a great season.
You got it. Frosty Rucker, former Raider defensive lineman. He didn't sound – the phone line wasn't perfect there. I know people are trying to listen on our YouTube channel and all that. Sometimes, you know, you get a guy in studio or not. I will tell you about him. The one thing that he said, he was played here 1 year. 1 year he played for this team, and he's treated the way he should be, like a Raider for life. You hear what he said? said, yeah, I played 1 year here. I contributed here. And he keeps coming back, and he loves to go to the autograph signing, be at the game, and do all that. So we appreciate that. Once a Raider, always a Raider. So the rest of the week, we're pretty busy here. We got big shows lined up, a couple more guests lined up. We're going to be, you know, last week we did our Friday show from Whiskey Stadium with Modelo and the Black Hole. We're going to be in-house this week. But I'm just sensing, I want to hear from some of the fans, and we're running out of time. Levi Edwards is going to join us coming up next. The fans who are coming to this game, I'm going to be keeping an eye on them and how they're going to be in their seats, what they're going to do. There's going to be a lot of Cleveland fans that are coming because they bought tickets a while ago. The Raider fans who were there got to be wearing black in your seat and loud. This is an important moment for this team this year. I haven't sugarcoated it once this week. Have to win the game and have to win big. We are brought to you by Raising Cane's Chicken Fingers. All over the valley, the best chicken fingers in the country. Raising Cane's Chicken Fingers, one love.
Yeah, I mean, last week I did that. We walked through last week. You know, we did two walkthroughs instead of practicing, no pads. Then we go out there on Thursday and we had shells on and run around with helmets and T-shirts and stuff like that. But, you know, it was already on schedule for us to go. I mean, this is a team that we felt coming into it when we looked at our schedule. They run the ball. They do a really good job running the ball. They're physical. They give you a lot of different looks. The head coach is a really good offensive coordinator. He does a hell of a job putting together him and Ken Dorsey. So, you know, this was a week anyway we had pads on. And I really judge it off our health. If we're healthy enough to go out there and put pads on, we'll do it. If we're not, then we don't. And last week we just felt with the travel, you know, being nicked up in certain positions, we can get more reps and more opportunities having those gentlemen walk through.
Wow, I didn't hear that. I was up here hosting the show. JT, back with you as we wrap it up. If you're on our YouTube stream, Levi Edwards, you can see him. He is a big guy, strong guy, athlete. He's a digital contributor, and we welcome him in. I didn't hear that. That is very interesting to me because Eric Allen told me on the set across the hall that this has to be one of the hardest and most physical practices they have today or tomorrow, because the practice squad players need to step up, put their hands in the face of Colton Miller, maybe hold their blocks a little bit longer, and simulate Cleveland in a rough and tough game. What's going on with this practice setting?
Well, AP said that he had already planned for this to be a very heavily, physical practice. Very physical practice. And that's just because of the opponent of who they're playing, which obviously you have Myles Garrett on the other side. He's banged up going through a lot of stuff, but that really doesn't mean anything to me when I look at things. I really do think that he's still a game record no matter what he's going through. So Colton Miller, he's had a slew of really good pass rushers he had to go up against in the early part of this season. So it's not going to get any easier here.
All right, so when it comes to the intensity of what you notice because you're able to go to practice, you're in front of the coach at the podium there, do you just sense after what happened at Allegiant Stadium and his strong words about business decisions that everybody on this roster got that message and you can tell there's just a different all around here, or it's just business as usual?
I would definitely say it's business as usual.
Okay.
I think that quote, people are going to say, oh, he's calling out people for business decisions, so things are going to change and things are going to, intensify and things are going to go left or right or whatever they say. But when it comes down to it, this is the NFL. And no matter what team you play for, no matter how many games you won, no matter how many games you lost, you are competing for your job every day. And so he didn't have to make that comment for everyone in that locker room to know, hey, I didn't play well, or hey, I'm not playing well, so my job might be on the line because there's some guy behind me that might want to take it, because that's on any team, on any roster.
But let me jump in. Levi Edwards is our guest. I recall last year when Marcus Peters was let go because there was a tackle that he missed and he just wasn't flying around to the ball. I don't want to say I saw that. I watched the game over again. I thought I saw a team on the sideline that looked like the game was getting out of control, and a team on Carolina that just out-schemed them and were just a half a step faster. I just thought the Raiders, Levi, looked a little bit sluggish on how they couldn't cover those slants, how they couldn't pursue runners over the middle of the field. It's almost like they were a half a step behind and Carolina knew exactly what they wanted to do.
I 100% agree. I don't – obviously the results were the results, but when you watch the game back or when I was watching it live in person, there was just a lack of urgency. And that's really what it came down to. When you're facing a team, they're 0-2, 32nd worst offense in the league, 31st worst defense in the league. You look at that and you just think to yourself, okay, not like they – let their foot off the gas, but there was just a lack of urgency. And you saw that throughout the entirety of the game on defense and on offense. And so despite – I don't want to go out and say people make business decisions, but once the game did start to unravel and there was a certain score on the board, you could see that players' energy went down.
Yeah.
And I think that was across the entire roster. I don't think that was one or two people. I think that was a collective thing.
Levi Edwards, as we wrap it up, so for you, the key to this game, and I personally think that this is a game, I can't say anymore they have to start fast. I can't say anymore that they have to start a certain way. They have to play faster earlier, and if they want to establish the run and it doesn't work, they're not going to start fast. Like, unless you're throwing the ball heavy and picking up chunk plays, if you're running into the pile 6 minutes into the first quarter in front of this fan base, they're going to say, what's going on again? But I know they have to establish the run.
They definitely have to. They definitely have to establish the run. It's also one of those things where it's one of those things that I truly do believe where you want to establish the run, obviously, but when it comes down to it, what's working is what's working. And when it comes down to it, the offense is being fueled by the passing game. You have Brock Bowers getting open. You have Devontae getting open. And obviously they want to have this part of the offense get going because you don't want defensive play calling to become predictable. But we're at a point now where I don't know what changes can be made. Obviously, they're going to play around with the offensive line. They're going to play around with the running attack and things of that nature. But I think we're now at a point within the season of trying to establish an identity. And if you are a passing team and you have weapons you can pass to, then you just need to continue going down that road instead of trying to make something that's not working work.
All right. Finally, I want to ask you about Deshaun Watson. I think it's a fascinating topic on a big picture level because he's fit. He's athletically 100%. But something's missing. Like, I would think in this game, and I nailed it with Andy Dalton. Andy Dalton came in, I said, get worried. He's going to play well, and the ball's going to come out quickly. And it did. That was 100% what happened. What I think what's going to happen with this guy is he's not right mentally. He's a half a second behind. I think Stefanski's going to tell him, look, if you don't have option one open or two, run. Raiders aren't tackling in space. They couldn't tackle last week. We're going to get some chunk plays on the ground. So they're not running it well. They're not great again. I don't know what's – they got Amari Cooper and Jerry Jeudy. But what is your big concern with Deshaun Watson? Because he hasn't played well in 9 games in a row. If he has a big game at Allegiant Stadium, that's going to be a bad sign around here.
Most definitely. And I'm not going to speculate about his mental capacity or I'm not going to speculate about what's going on with him as to why he's not looking like the guy we saw with the Houston Texans. What I will say is that he has completed less than 60% of his passes this season, which is not good, not characteristic, what you want out of a starting quarterback in the league. So when it comes down to it, obviously the team is very banged up, but Cleveland has essentially given him all of the pieces to have a successful offense, and it still hasn't worked. So this could definitely be a dangerous situation for the Raiders in the sense that if you don't smell blood in the water and you eat, then the season is going to unravel. Because if you're the Raiders defense and you look at the stats, you look at the EPA of the Browns, you look at the passing yardage, you look at how many times Deshaun Watson has been sacked, 16 times through 3 games, you have to look at all that and say, okay, I'm going to cook today. And if the Raiders defense can't do it, then there's going to be trouble.
Thanks for coming in. I appreciate you.
Thank you.
That's Levi Edwards. Thrilled that we can have him in here. He will join us every week, and we're excited about that. Let me wrap it up with Robert in Portland. Robert, thanks for waiting. Appreciate you getting in here. Go ahead.
JT, last year he inherited a team that had given up against Detroit and Chicago. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I think he watched a lot of film with his guys, and I think they diagnosed certain players with certain not give up tendencies, but you know, they didn't look good in those games working for McDaniels. I think he saw a little of that, you know, sprout up, And the last thing he wants to go is, you know, get off to a 3-3 start like McDaniels did and then go actually 3-5. He doesn't want that to happen. He wants to come out quick, and they got a chance at doing so if indeed they can win this game and then go to Denver and take care of business. And then Pittsburgh, though, you know, we'll just have to wait and see what happens with that game. But he can't afford to have another home loss this early in the season.
I agree 100%. Robert, I got to run him up against it. Thanks for being patient. We get you on. You nailed it. This, no matter how you spin this, and for those who think I spin it, you must not listen. This has been the opposite of spinning anything. I've been furious all week for the loss and what happened. It's tough to see a path to have a really good season if you lose two at home to Carolina and a banged-up Cleveland team. I'll end the broadcast by saying this again. I didn't think the Raiders would beat Cleveland back in July and August because I had a lot of respect for Cleveland being a really good team. They are hemorrhaging and injured worse than the Raiders. So I don't root for injuries. I want Cleveland at 100% and the Raiders at 100%. But that's not going to be the case. This is not the same Cleveland team of the last year or two, and it won't be the same Cleveland team maybe 3 or 4 weeks from now. The Raiders have to pounce in this game, take their will away, play angry and violent. I don't care if there's a penalty early. If they're playing with more energy than what they had at Allegiant, and I didn't see much at all against Carolina. I'll head to La Casa Cigars tonight to watch Thursday night football, and we got Resorts World. So I work on Thursday nights. This is Wednesday night. Thursday night's tomorrow, but Wednesday night is a shutdown day. We might do a YouTube live stream. Thanks to Bobby, everybody at the Raiders for putting the show together. Really enjoyed it today from Raiders headquarters. Q Myers coming up next. He's got a big, big show lined up.
Appreciate it. Thank you, guys.